But joining me now, however, is Dan and Ann. Dan and Ann, I think, have been with us before, and they are farmers in California. I don't know if you saw the headline, I showed it the other night, that California is under a lot of water, and yet we get about 50% of our agriculture from California. We don't need another hit on our food supply. We already know what's going on with the war on cattle ranchers, with the you know what's happening to chickens and the killing of chickens and what's going on with our eggs and other food supplies. And now, what about your lettuce? What about your tomatoes and other vegetables that come out of California? Dan and Ann join us now. Guys, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having us again.
Thank you. I have definitely had you on before. I think twice. This will be the third time, I think.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. How much of our produce do we get from California, guys?
Well, depends on time of the year, but what's coming up now is the guys up north of Monterey and in the Watsonville, Salinas area, they should be planting lettuce and cauliflower and broccoli and all that kind of stuff, spinach, and they can't get in to get to plant. They're just flooded. Their ground, a lot of that ground up there is heavier and it doesn't dry out very fast. So you've got that going on. So in a couple months, we're going to be a real crunch for all that type of produce.
What about my tomatoes? I love tomatoes. What about my tomatoes?
Well, Florida will probably make a lot of money because California's not been able to get in and plant the tomatoes either.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
What percentage of our food do we get from California?
You know, I think around the produce anyway, 75%.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's
that
pretty big.
High.
It's pretty
that
substantial.
High.
Well, fruit and vegetables, you know, not the cattle. There's cattle all over the country, but, you know, that type of thing.
But fruit and vegetables,
yeah.
It's really high, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, huge.
Well, this,
even though they keep trying to take them out in the Central Valley, they cut a bunch of farmers off to build a train to nowhere, and they cut it, and they guys were taking out orchards. You know, that's terrible. They cut them off the water, and, you know, they shouldn't have done that, but they did.
They cut them off of water over some little fish, right?
Yeah. Well, and the train. They wanted to build a bullet train.
The high-speed train.
It's such a joke. No one's going to ride on it. You know, it's just crazy what these people do.
What does this mean for some of those farmers if they don't get a crop in? Not only does what it means for our food supply, but what does it mean for some of them? Do they have insurance for this kind of thing?
I don't know because, yeah, I'm sure some do. I know the USDA offers insurance, but if you're too big and you gross too much money, you don't qualify on the fruit and vegetable level anyways. I don't know how it works in the Midwest with the wheat growers and that type of thing. But yeah, some probably do, but it's going to be a crunch. I mean, it'll quit raining maybe, you know, eventually, and they'll be able to plant, but it's going to be real expensive lettuce and that type of stuff.
We're having rain today and tomorrow, and then they're expecting more next week. They're calling for more next week.
Yeah,
it's
the
just
strawberries,
not stopping. It's crazy.
The strawberries are going to be really short for Easter. You know, people love strawberries on Easter. Have them with their Easter dinner or whatever.
And your family sells some of these items, right?
Oh, yeah. We grow mostly strawberries, but we're growing all that other stuff now because we're on the farm stand market. We're growing lettuce and broccoli and tomatoes and sweet corn and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Because people like it. They can see it where it's grown. It's grown right here. It's fresh.
Yes.
But you're not able to grow it right now because of the rain and the water, right?
Well, we have it. We've grown the strawberries. Our strawberries are, time is right now. And the heartbreaking thing for us is that our season when we start selling normally starts about mid-January. And then we really get going like right before Valentine's Day. But because of all the rain that we've had, like we have four locations and we've only just gotten all four of them open. We have our one location, our big one that stays open all year, but the other three, we've only just been able to get open. So right now Dan is paying all of these guys to pick the strawberries to throw them away because they're ruined, they're waterlogged.
Yeah. You got to
pay to throw them away. Yeah, because you can't leave them on the vine and let them go. You have to pick them and throw them away. So the reason the plants will continue to produce.
Okay, so the reason you got to pick them, even though you can't use them, is so that the plant can keep reproducing.
Correct.
Right, and they're getting moldy, and you don't want the good ones next to it to get moldy, so you got to keep it clean.
So you're having to pay people to pick strawberries that you throw away, so clearly you're not making money. You're losing money At what point, again, is this a problem for the average family business? And many farms are family businesses.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with agriculture. You have good years and bad years, and this is one of the bad ones. You just got to, you know, you can't have a couple of good years and think you made it and spend all that money. You got to budget for the bad years and realize you're going to have them.
Yeah, it's a problem now. It's going to be, this is going to be one, like Dan said, this is one of those years, but one of those lean years. And that's why you just pray and thank God every year that you have a good year. And you know that when Florida's maybe having a bad year one year, that's their year to have a bad year. And the next year we'll have, it might be our turn. So we always pray for it to have a good crop, but we pray that everybody else around the country does as well, because at some point it's going to be your turn to have a lean year.
And we can't have too many consecutive years like this, or that's going to be a problem for the whole country, right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah, sure.
How concerned are you about, you know, I talk a lot about our food supply. How concerned are you guys with America's food supply, with all that our government's doing to wage war on the farmers and ranchers?
Well, we'd be fine. We can produce and we can make it all if they would just get out of the way and stop, you know, messing up the works. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, I've traveled all over the West we drove the last couple of years, you know, Montana, going through. I mean, the agricultural potential of our country, it cannot be stopped. The only thing that can stop it is if they try to stop it. And now, like, you know, you've heard of what they're doing in the Netherlands, where they're saying you can't use fertilizer because it causes global warming now, which is just a whole brand new thing that you never heard of until this last couple of years. And if they bring that here, that would be a real problem.
Because that would cut down your yield, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you need fertilizer to grow everything, you know, whether it's organic or, you know,
conventional.
Either one.
How much would it impact? If they start putting limits on how much fertilizer you could use, would you see what, 25%, 50% decline in your yield?
It all depends on how much they make you cut back. You might grow less acres and use the full rate, but you'd be growing less acres. Say you use this much fertilizer last year, you got to use this much this year. So you have to choose, well, do I want to get a lousy crop on what I had last year or a good crop on half of it? So you might have to cut back on the acres.
And it's not only that does it affect the food supply, but it also affects the workers.
And the price,
because, you know, if we can't grow as many crops, then we can't employ as many people. So there's, I mean, the ripple effects of what is going on is just kind of incalculable, because it's going to hit every fathom of the American life.
Wow. Now, you guys have a website, and I think I've asked a few times, and I would love to, for you guys to promote any jams or jellies or honey or anything you do have that could help you out. Do you have do you have some of that we could promote tonight?
We do. We have our website, and I know I'm so embarrassed because it's getting redone, and so it's just taking way longer than we had anticipated, way longer. But we do have our website, and on the website, if somebody, because I know that he's literally working on the shop right now, but on the website, if you go to the Irvine Market location, anybody can call and we can take your order over the phone if you want. And also, they could also message us through Instagram or on Instagram at Manicero Farms as well.
Okay, so you don't have a website I can promote right now.
We do have it's Manicero Farms. It's up, but it's just not where I want it. It's not pretty where I want it.
Let's put it on the screen for him real quick. Spell it for us, guys.
It's Manassero. So manicerofarms.com.
All right, I think I got that right. Yo, wow, that's not a bad looking website now.
But it's all right. It's good, but it's not as good as I want. So,
yeah. All right.
We got a lot of new features coming up, so it's going to be way better.
Okay. And you also do events, so at least that gives you some income stream. That gives you some income stream.
Yes.
Stream, so you're not just all based on one income stream, thankfully, right?
Yeah, thank the Lord. And I know a lot of local farmers are starting to do more agricultural entertainment.
Yep.
To help augment the farming industry, because it is so difficult. And thank the Lord, we started doing that a few years ago. And we do that. We do a lot of that at our Irvine Market stand.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad that, of course, wow, look at that. That's beautiful. Wow.
Thank you.
Look at that. That's gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, my Worldview Weekend Foundation would hold an event there if I lived in that area. That's gorgeous.
Oh, you got to come over. I thank you. I do all that decorating, so I appreciate that. Thank
well,
you.
You're very good at it. Wow.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. Well, I'm glad
but
you guys.
I do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say one thing. I want if everybody would you know, one thing everybody's asked what we can do. If everybody would support their local farms wherever they are, find them, support them. And because that's one way we're going to be able to kind of stop what's going on. If everybody starts just going to Amazon for their food or Walmart for their food or all these, you know, the big corporations and stuff, the local farmer is going to go away.
Absolutely. And if they have an event venue,
absolutely,
hold an event there to support that farmer who's fighting the government, who's trying to put them out of business. And the government wants to put you guys out of business so they can take your land and then put it into a reserve as part of sustainable development and Agenda 21 and not let any humans mess with it. I mean, that's all it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what they're doing in the Netherlands. You've heard about that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We've been covering that. And, and of course, some of the farmers are using their tractors and blocking the streets and spraying,
I love it. Yeah.
Spraying manure on some of the government buildings.
I know.
We love it.
If anybody ever deserves it, right?
Exactly right. Hey, they ought to be real comfortable wading around in that. I mean, that's what they produce every day.
Right? I know. They're used to slinging it.
They spew enough of it every
that's
day.
Exactly right. Oh, wow. Well, help me with the name.
Manicero.
ManiceroFarms.com. ManiceroFarms.com. And when things get a little better and we can promote some jellies and jams, I'd love to promote those. I'm a big fan of jellies and jams, if you can't tell. So,
well, hey, we'll get you some.
Well, let us know when that website's up. But in the meantime, folks should visit their website as well as visit some of their markets they have. Here's one in Irvine they're talking about right there. And then, of course, if you're not in the area, try, as they're saying, to visit some of your local farmers and their sites. So the American people can turn to the farmer who they're buying it from directly versus the big corporations, by the way, of which most of these big corporations are supporting Agenda 21 and sustainable development, right?
Right. And tell your local grocery store, even though it's a big chain, maybe it's a Safeway or Kroger or wherever, tell your local grocery store, hey, I want some local produce. And if enough of us go and say, I want local produce and to see more local produce on these shelves, they will do it. If enough of us do it and toe that line, it will happen. We have to stick together and demand local.
Absolutely.
And it'll happen. So
Dan and Ann, thank you as always, guys. We sure appreciate your update and you preserving the American farming way of life. Thank you for that. And for feeding us. Thank you for feeding us.
Thank you so much for having us on and helping us spread the story.
Appreciate you guys. It. Dan and Ann checking in. Check out their site, ManiceroFarms.com.